that, and I just want to go ahead and read the Green Book. Book about democracy, and since you know we just celebrated Trump's inauguration as a 45th president of the United States of America, who knows if he goes for two terms or not, but I figured this would be a good book to go ahead and listen in, to go ahead and listen in here. I wanted to go ahead and read it to you. Maybe some of us, some of the viewers will be able to go ahead and get something from it, pull some information from it that might prove useful. What I'm going to do is go ahead and read the first two chapters of the book. The first two chapters cover the instrument of government as well as parliament, and then as I'm able to continue later on, I'll go ahead and cover the rest of the chapters. But we're going to go ahead and start off with the first two chapters of the Green Book by Gaddafi, who was assassinated through the help of Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, well, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Anyway, Chapter 1, The Instrument of Government. The instrument of government is the prime political problem confronting human communities. The problem of the instrument of government entails questions of the following kind. What form should the exercise of authority assume? How ought societies to organize themselves politically in the modern world? Even conflict within the family is often the result of the failure to resolve this problem of authority. It has clearly become more serious with the emergence of modern societies. How's my sound so far? Do I sound like I'm good? Let's check for the comments. Let's see here. Okay, it looks like we're going good here. All right, cool. I know y'all couldn't hear me first time around, so I'm doing this again. But yes, even conflict within the family is often the result of the failure to resolve this problem of authority. It has clearly become serious with the emergence of modern societies. People today face this persistent question in new and pressing ways. Communities are exposed to the risks of uncertainty and suffer the grave consequences of wrong answers. Yet none has succeeded in answering it conclusively and democratically. The Green Book presents the ultimate solution to the problem of the proper instrument of government. All political systems in the world today are a product of the struggle for power between alternative instruments of government. This struggle may be peaceful or armed, as is evident among classes, sects, tribes, parties, or individuals. The outcome is always the victory of a particular governing structure, be it that of an individual, group, party, or class, and the defeat of the people, the defeat of genuine democracy. Political struggle that results in the victory of a candidate with, for example, 51% of the votes leads to a dictatorial governing body in the guise of a false democracy, since 49% of the electorate is ruled by an instrument of government they did not vote for, but which has been imposed upon them. Such is dictatorship. Besides, this political conflict may produce a governing body that represents only a minority. For when votes are distributed among several candidates, though one polls more than any other, the sum of the votes received by those who received fewer votes might well constitute an overwhelming majority. However, the candidate with the fewer votes wins, and his success is regarded as legitimate and democratic, i.e., Donald Trump and the Hillary Clinton fiasco with the Electoral College. Hillary Clinton won by 2.8 million votes, the popular vote. However, according to Electoral College votes, it is Trump that won. It is considered legitimate and democratic. Let's keep on going. In actual fact, dictatorship is established under the cover of false democracy. This is the reality of the political systems prevailing in the world today. They are dictatorial systems, and it is evident that they falsify genuine democracy. Chapter 2, Parliaments. Parliaments are the backbone of that conventional democracy prevailing in the world today. Parliament is a misrepresentation of the people, and parliamentary systems are a false solution to the problem of democracy. A parliament is originally founded to represent the people, but this in itself is undemocratic, as democracy means the authority of the people and not an authority acting on their behalf. The mere existence of a parliament means the absence of the people. True democracy exists only through the direct participation of the people and not through the activity of their representatives. Parliaments have been a legal barrier between the people and the exercise of authority, excluding the masses from meaningful politics and monopolizing sovereignty in their place. People are left with only a facade of democracy manifested in long queues to cast their election ballots. To lay bare the character of parliaments, one has to examine their origin. They are either elected from constituencies, a party, or a coalition of parties, or are appointed. But all of these procedures are undemocratic, for dividing the population into constituencies means that one member of parliament represents thousands, hundreds of thousands, or even millions of people, depending on the size of the population. It also means that a member keeps few popular organizational links with the electors, since he, like other members, is considered a representative of the whole people. This is what the prevailing traditional democracy requires. The masses are completely isolated from the representative, and he, in turn, is totally removed from them. Immediately after winning the electors' votes, the representative takes over the people's sovereignty and acts on their behalf. The prevailing traditional democracy endows the member of parliament with a sacredness and immunity which are denied to the rest of the people. Parliaments, therefore, have become a means of plundering and usurping the authority of the people. It has thus become the right of the people to struggle through popular revolution to destroy such instruments. The so-called parliamentary assemblies which usurp democracy and sovereignty and which stifle the will of the people. The masses have the right to proclaim reverberantly the new principle, no representation in lieu of the people. If parliament is formed from one party as a result of its winning an election, it becomes a parliament of the winning party and not of the people. It represents the party and not the people, and the executive power of the parliament becomes that of the victorious party and not that of the people. The same is true of the parliament of proportional representation, in which each party holds a number of seats proportional to their success in the popular vote. The members of the parliament represent their respective parties and not the people, and the power established by such a coalition is the power of the combined parties and not that of the people. Under such systems, the people are the victims whose votes are vied for by exploitative competing factions who dupe the people into political circuses that are outwardly noisy and frantic, but inwardly powerless and irrelevant. Alternatively, the people are seduced into standing in long, apathetic, silent queues to cast their ballots in the same way that they throw waste paper into dustbins. This is a traditional democracy prevalent in the whole world, whether it is represented by a one-party, two-party, multi-party, or non-party system. Thus, it is clear that representation is a fraud. Moreover, since the system of elected parliaments is based on propaganda to win votes, it is a demagogic system in the whole sense of the word. Votes can be bought and falsified. Poor people are unable to compete in election campaigns, and the result is that only the rich get elected. Assemblies constituted by appointment or hereditary succession do not fall under any form of democracy. Philosophers, thinkers, and writers advocated the theory of representative parliaments at a time when peoples were unconsciously herded like sheep by kings, sultans, and conquerors. The ultimate aspiration of the people of those times was to have someone to represent them before such rulers. When even this aspiration was rejected, people waged bitter and protracted struggle to attain this goal. After the successful establishment of the age of the republics and the beginning of the era of the masses, it is unthinkable that democracy should mean the electing of only a few representatives to act on behalf of great masses. This is an obsolete structure. Authority must be in the hands of all of the people. The most tyrannical dictatorships the world has known have existed under the ages of parliaments. So, that was chapters 1 and 2, the instrument of government and parliaments. Chapter 3 will go into the party system. Now, I won't be going into that now. Probably go into that either later on this evening or possibly tomorrow. We'll read further into the Green Book by Mr. Gaddafi. reading chapter 3, which is the party. And we'll go ahead and read chapter 4 as well. Chapter 4 is the class system. This is Hassan Madouni. Thanks for tuning in.